Welcome back to Through the Word, Matthew chapter 10 today. And this one hits right to the heart for both me and Jonathan. Jesus sends his disciples on mission. Now, Mr. Ferguson is with us again today, so why don't you start us out, Jonathan?
Verse 1. He called his disciples and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now, these are the names of the 12 apostles. And then it goes on to, surprise, name the 12. But we see a distinction here that's very important. Jesus calls his disciples and then calls them apostles. This is actually the only time in Matthew that the 12 are called apostles. And the word means one who is sent out. It was the same word in the Greek that you would use for an ambassador or an envoy. And these 12 have been called, been equipped, and will be sent out on a mission. And Jesus is going to give them their marching orders.
Now, Jonathan, you and I are both missionaries, and we have more missionaries listening to us, and I think some of them who just don't know it yet. So is this passage for us?
Absolutely it is for us, but it is by no means the only passage that applies for missions. Now, I've heard missionary messages that use this passage as a how-to for all missions. But Luke 10 shares another time when Jesus sends out a group of his disciples, and the instructions there are different. When Jesus calls someone to go, it's important that they take the time to find out, not just where and when, but also how they should respond.
Okay, so this passage is for a specific mission trip then, just for the disciples, right?
Right. It gives instructions to these disciples on where they should go and what they're to do. But there are many lessons we can study and apply to all mission work today.
Right, I agree. And what's consistent for both trips is that they got their instructions from Jesus. Every missionary should get their direction from the Lord. And that might come from a word in this passage, or maybe from another. Okay, so what is this mission that is set out for the disciples?
Well, their mission, should they choose to accept it, was to go to the Israelites living throughout Galilee and preach to them, as verse 7 says, that the kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 8 says that they were also to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Now, back in verse 1, Jesus had already given them authority to do these very things. Now, he was commanding them to go and do them.
Now, this passage messed with me when I first read it. Why is it in verse 5 that Jesus commands his missionaries to stay away from the Gentiles and Samaritans and only go to the lost sheep of Israel? Did Jesus not want the Gentiles and Samaritans to be saved?
Well, both of us here are testimony to the fact that God desires the Gentiles be saved.
Now, wait, correction. Remember, my mom is Jewish, so I'm safe here. I'm just worried about you, my friend.
Well, worry no more. The first mission trip came with orders to reach the Jews, but later, Jesus gave specific instructions to reach the Gentiles. This is the pattern for the gospel, as Romans 1 says, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. And it was not because the Jews were any better, but rather because they had been given the law and the prophets, and they were more prepared for the message.
Okay, so I guess we can let you in. But I still might edit you out of the audio later. But for the missions, this is actually a good lesson. Sometimes God gives you a target audience. Reach Long Beach. Reach Nairobi. Reach mobile users. It's good. It keeps you focused. So the apostles have been given their marching orders, but the preparation list here is a little scary. He tells them in verse 9, do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for the journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep.
Yeah, that would scare any prospective missionary right back into a desk job. Jesus was telling them to get going without waiting until the right time. Too many people feel the call to missions but take too long to get moving. There is wisdom in being prepared, but there is also a time for trusting God for your provision.
I have to say here, I've wrestled over this one. Some missions organizations have a massive preparation routine, months of training, years of fundraising, and here Jesus says, just go for it.
Yes, but later, Jesus sends them on another mission and he tells them that they should take an extra tunic and enough money to get by.
Right. On two different missions, Jesus gives two different instructions, and that was my quandary. Which one do I follow? I have to admit, by personality, I just want to go for it. People need Jesus. Let's go. I love the leap of faith. But I've learned, if Jesus didn't say go, it's not faith, it's presumption. The key in any mission is to hear the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said go. That's the Great Commission. But he also said, wait for the Holy Spirit. And all through Acts, the apostles are moving out and waiting on the Spirit.
Now, Jesus goes on in verse 16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. And in the next few verses, Jesus shares what will happen to these apostles and all future disciples of Christ when they go and share the good news. There will be opposition.
And that opposition comes from a variety of sources. Jesus mentions the government, religious opposition, and even family members as sources of persecution. But in the midst of this persecution, Jesus tells his followers to stand strong. Verse 22, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Persecutions will come, but blessed is the person who endures, for it shows evidence of their faith in Christ.
And in verses 24 to 33, Jesus reminds the apostles that he was not asking them to do something that he had not already done. He was bringing comfort to them by pointing out that he too had faced opposition. The religious leaders fought him, his family thought he had lost his mind, and the government ultimately killed him. Jesus says in verse 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who will destroy both soul and body in hell. We shouldn't fear man, but rather we should fear God. When God says go and man says no, follow God.
And Jesus sums up these warnings in verse 38. Anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Every believer must decide once and for all to love Christ completely and to take up their cross. Now, that doesn't mean you wear a cross necklace or walk around the streets dragging a huge wooden cross behind you. What it does mean is that you take up your cross and follow him despite the shame, despite the suffering. It means to die to self daily and follow Jesus.
So choose today to follow Jesus. Be prepared for a road filled with opposition and rejection. We either sacrifice our life for Christ or we reject him completely. Jesus doesn't give us a middle road. Matthew chapter 10, the ambassadors of Christ on Through the Word.
This message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.
Dun, 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 burp, burp, burp. Ba-da-loo. Do-do-do.